Okay, we are back. The topic is locking squatters out, how states can protect homeowners. Today's guest is from the Pacific Legal Foundation, Kyle Sweetland. He's the first non-attorney guest I've had from the Pacific Legal Foundation over many, many years. I probably had 30 interviews. He's a strategic researcher out of Arlington, Virginia. Before joining the PLF in 2023, he spent 8 years as a researcher at the Institute for Justice. And other recent articles he's written back from April 2025, California has the highest impact fees for home building in the country. And back in October of 2024, popular myths about housing markets. So you could go to PLF and find his articles. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Kyle Sweetland.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark.
And I didn't ask you before we came on if that's how you pronounce your last name.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Being the PLF, you know, it's too bad your last name wasn't Wetlands, because we got a lot of attorneys talking about Wetlands. But Sweetland, I like that. Maybe your ancestors grew sugar. That's pretty cool.
Maybe.
So before we jump into your research and the article and how states can protect homeowners from squatters, for the purposes of this, the squatter is someone who moves into a vacant house without a lease versus an existing legal tenant who refuses to vacate?
Yeah, so squatting, it is, like you were saying, somebody who may be in a property where they didn't have any sort of legal claim or title to be on that property. So thinking of, say, an overstaying guest, right? They had the permission of the homeowner to be there, or an Airbnb tenant. They had paid for one night, but they stay a whole week, right? These aren't squatters in the sense that I'm talking about. The sense that I'm talking about is people who are never had a reason to be on that property in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it does happen quite a bit more than you would think.
Right, right. I know you've got some charts and you'll be able to talk about some different states. And I read that you said trespassing is criminal, but squatting becomes a civil case. That's seems to work against the property owner, doesn't it? Or does it?
Yeah, it does. When a tenant has a dispute with their landlord, they would go through a civil court process to get evicted. And that process can take anywhere from 6 months to 2 years, depending on the court that you're working in. When you take squatting and you don't treat it as trespassing, what property owners are left with is to go through a civil eviction process. And that can mean they're locked out of their homes for that amount of time. The law would treat them as having the rights of a tenant. So you can't do anything that would cause them to not want to live there, like turning off utilities. Those would be things that they're protected by in the law in that case. And so the treating a squatter as a civil eviction process results in quite a few harms to homeowners, but it goes beyond that, because the blind indifference of government to this issue is in turn making it more difficult for homeowners to get in their homes. And so the government, in effect, is approving this taking of the property by the squatter.
So how is it that, now, when you have, like, you know, landlord-tenant disputes, a lot of people, and rightfully so, can want to see a tenant with plenty of rights, you know, and that's fine. But when you have, if trespassing is criminal, and these people are clearly not tenants, is it federal, or is it every state in the union says that it becomes a civil case? And is there any way, is anyone trying to turn that around and make it a criminal case?
Yeah, actually, I did a follow up to my original research on squatting, where I looked at the rise of the problem and what states had done, and there are many states that have not addressed that and not called squatting a criminal trespassing offense. But in recent years, actually in the last year, we went from seeing about 8 states that had a law on the books that said that trespassing was a criminal offense to a total of 23 states now, as of July this year, have passed laws that make squatting a criminal offense now.
And let me guess, California is not one of them.
Yeah, California actually does have a law on that treats squatting as a criminal offense.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I am so happy to be wrong. That's great.
Yes, actually, California is a very interesting state, though. Just because you can make squatting a criminal offense doesn't mean that property owners will automatically get back into their homes faster. So California, the way it works is you have to file an affidavit with the police department before you, say, leave for vacation. And that letter will basically say, if there's somebody in my home who's a squatter, that person, right, can be removed more quickly, right? They're treated like this criminal trespasser. But if you don't have that on file, or if the letter's expired because it's been more than a year, the property owner still has to follow that civil eviction process because they didn't have they hadn't done the legwork beforehand to put that letter.
So if someone in California on January 1st is going to go on vacation for a month, they file an affidavit with the local police department,
mm-hmm.
and they say they're going out of town for a month. And then they come back. And then for the remainder of the year, that affidavit is good for 12 months?
Yeah, that's my understanding of how it works.
Well, I don't know. Who knows that? Who the hell knows that? Who the hell is going to go down and file an affidavit when you're going on vacation for 1 week? Now, is that something very unique of the 23 states that made it criminal versus civil? Is that the only state that does it?
Yeah, that certainly is that sort of system of filing a letter and whatnot is unique to California.
Well, there you go then. Now, thank you for reinforcing the perspective of California doing something like that. I don't know how, well, let's not even get into it. Okay, so that's good news. And you said in your article, in Tennessee, it could take up to 2 years to evict a squatter. And in Maryland and Pennsylvania, it could cost $3,000 to $10,000 to get a squatter eviction case through the court system. Give me an example or a couple of examples of how squatters, enter and how it evolves.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. There's one example I can think of, Gavin and Mary Glenn. They're from Dallas, Texas, and they had bought a home to fix up for their the aging father to live in, one of the fathers to live in, and the husband, Gavin, he was going to start renovations on the home, and he came, and this home had been for sale, and when he came and was starting to go fix it up, he found out that there were two men squatting in the house. And so he ended up calling the police, saying, hey, these people didn't have any lease with me, but the men still presented what is alleged to be a fake lease to the police. And the police just said that they could not, verify that. And it was going to be, there wasn't something they could do about it. And so Gavin was going to have to file a civil court case and serve the notice of eviction. And that was the process they eventually had to go through. They ended up eventually removing the squatters, but it took them nearly a year to do that.
This was in Texas?
Yeah.
And to be clear, you're talking about Gavin Glenn, not Gavin Newsom. 1 year in Texas, and this home was for sale. They bought it. It was a vacant house. And somehow, a couple of guys saw it as a vacant house and just moved in. I mean, these guys, are they living there in sleeping bags? They got furniture? It's like fully moved in?
Yeah. It seemed that they were living in the home anybody who was a tenant would choose to do.
You know, it just comes to mind. My guest today is from the Pacific Legal Foundation, Kyle Sweetland. He's a strategic researcher. And I don't know, I meant to count how many interviews I've had with PLF over the years, at least 30, I would think. Some of those repeat guests. But they were all attorneys, so it's great to have someone different. So you would think that everyone now who has a vacant house should, particularly real estate agents who are selling vacant houses and you're closing escrow, in between closing escrow, you have to you got to have cameras. You got to watch it like a hawk.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the answer?
Yeah, certainly that's a part of it. You know, making sure that your home looks like it's a home that's lived in if you're away, right, is an important part of it. Yeah, having the security cameras is a big deal, of course.
You have examples. There's another example, a Dallas woman who sustained $150,000 in property damage.
Yeah. In that case, you know, she was away taking care of her mother, I believe in Florida. And when she came back, you know, she found that these squatters were in her home. And in this case, these squatters went through and, you know, they caused $150,000 in property damage to her home, you know, destroying things. And unfortunately, that seems to be a pretty common occurrence, you know, that there's damage that the property owner ends up having to pay for and repairs they have to make that just shows you just how costly this can be.
And this woman left her house to take care of her mother in another state. Was she gone for months? Do you know?
Yeah, I think she was gone for somewhere around 9 months.
Oh, my goodness. And obviously she did not have something set up with neighbors and people, someone to come and water, gardener. I don't know. What do you do when you go away for 9 months? You got to figure it out. Now in the case where the people showed the cops a lease, I suppose if you have a vacant house and you have cameras and you see someone moving in, even if you're right there the day they move in, if they turn around and show that they have a lease, you're stuck, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, when there's a civil eviction process, it's very difficult to move forward quickly from that. And I think that's why it's so important for states to address this issue and not treat squatting as a civil offense, but to clarify that it is trespassing and creating a process that allows homeowners to get back in their homes more quickly. At the end of the day, is going to be, I think, the most helpful thing that states can do here.
My guest is a Pacific Legal Foundation strategic researcher, Kyle Sweetland. Is there any push to try to make it a federal law, or is that not possible?
I haven't heard of that yet, but I know that state by state, it's becoming, you know, something that states are more aware of. They're seeing these news stories, but they're also, you know, recognizing that they can do something about this. As I had said earlier, it was originally last year only about 8 states that had criminalized squatting, and now it's at 23 states. So clearly, states are taking action, you know, on this issue.
And you're doing your best to try to educate. You know, what do? You go to the attorney general of each state, or is it the governor, or who needs to
get the legislators go, and they craft these laws, right, to better protect property rights. So we have a model bill at PLF called the Stop Squatters Act, and it's a template that state legislators can use to craft laws that would better protect property rights. And a part of that, right, is giving owners remedies against squatting if it's happening in their home. It would penalize squatters as criminals, right? And, you know, ultimately help homeowners get back in their homes more quickly.
It's some very, very shrewd people. Kyle Sweetland wrote an article that I read, says Georgia spiked from 17 squatters in 2022 to 198 in 2023. New York in 2020 was 9. And then every year forward was 9, 9, then 62 and 37. It seems like with Georgia, it's a huge spike. Do you have any idea what caused that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's, I think it's just, there's a larger number of these cases coming as a result of the backlog that the civil courts saw under eviction moratoriums during COVID. That could potentially be a part of it. I'm not completely certain, Mark, but these are, ideas of why that could be. And the rise in the cost of housing certainly doesn't help with people being able to find a place to live. I imagine these other things could be part of what's underlying that rise, but it's clear that it is an increasing issue, and states are going to need to know how to respond to it well. Anecdotally, I've seen, the news stories, but, in this case of these numbers that you're citing, they're the first of showing how this issue's been changing over time.
And are either New York or Georgia one of the states that now treat it squatting criminally versus a civil case?
Yeah, actually, Georgia is a really good example. They had had this affidavit that, and civil eviction process that took on average about 8 months. And then they passed the Georgia Squatter Reform Act. And they've seen some pretty good results coming from that. But basically, it allows the property owner to say, hey, this person's a squatter in my home, and I'm signing under perjury that, this is true. And the court will, in turn, speed up that process of reviewing the alleged lease that the squatter may have. And in turn, that allows the decision to be made more quickly and for the property owner to get back in their home. On average, they're trying to focus on that process taking 10 days or less. So you're going from 8 months to under 2 weeks. And I think that's a huge success. And from what I've seen in the news in Florida, in like South Fulton, for example, there's been a lot of positive responses from homeowners who previously had a lot of difficulty following the old process.
And look, if one was going to take the other side of the coin and someone was a tenant advocate, they would want to make sure that a legitimate tenant didn't get caught in the crosshairs of this becoming a criminal case. So we want to make sure that doesn't get confused. But this is, I would love if you could email me the 23 states that are criminal. I'd love to keep track of this. Obviously, the remaining states... I'm sure all these professional squatters are going to figure out, well, we're not going to go to those 23 states. Are these people going to end up going to jail?
Well, I'm not completely certain of how that would work, but if it's being treated as a criminal offense, I think that's a possibility.
That would give them a place to live. It would kind of be a bonus.
Certainly some people would think so, for sure.
Right, right. But so this surge, you said we went from, 8 states to 23 states? And is this just the last year or two?
Yeah.
So it's very possible that this thing will catch fire and maybe within a few years it'll be all 52. If not, whoever doesn't do it, they're just going to have an open season for squatters. Again, we're talking about professional squatters with no legitimate lease in a property. See something that's vacant, unoccupied. If you're in California and you're listening to this, you got to file an affidavit with the local police. Just do it. Just go do it. Say, I'm going to be gone. Even if you're not planning a vacation next week, at least you're covered for the next 12 months. It's crazy. You got to be proactive. You got to have cameras, neighbors. You got to keep an eye on it. If you get the mowing water use, you could see if anyone's using water. When I go on vacation, which is rare, I shut off the water to my house. You know how people stop the newspaper?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could shut off utilities and make sure that no one could claim to be you or claim that they're a new tenant. I don't know how easy it is to turn on utilities. I wonder if you're going to be gone for a month and just go, hey, let's just shut off the utility so no one would do that. I wonder if that would help.
Potentially, yeah. I was actually reading an interesting story here this morning in Santa Barbara. It's I think an older news story, but it was in Montecito. I believe I'm saying that properly, which is right next to Santa Barbara where you're at. And a realtor had arrived at a house that they were going to start selling for property owners, and it was clearly being occupied. They ended up finding out that 8 months ago, squatters had just come through the back door, found an open back door, and they went inside, moved all their stuff in, and it looked like the house was being occupied, but it was being occupied by squatters. So, you know, doing those common sense things, I think, can really make a difference.
You came close. Montecito. Was the squatter Randy Quaid?
I don't know. It doesn't say here.
No, because this is a serious story. You Google Randy Quaid squatting in Montecito, and he did it, or he allegedly did it. Hey, learned a lot. Kyle Sweetland, strategic researcher for the Pacific Legal Foundation, the first guest from Pacific Legal Foundation that has not been an attorney, and I love what you do, love your articles. Keep me posted if you can. If you can send me the states, I'd love to see which 23 states. Be very interesting. Kyle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, take care. You are listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. I got to tell you, who the hell wants to turn off all your utilities? There's got to be a better way than that. But certainly, if you're going away, that woman was gone for 9 months. You doing something like that, you got to turn off all your utilities and make it clear that no utilities get turned on unless... I don't know. You know, you call utilities all the time. We close escrow, and you just have to connect with the utility company and make sure that you can say that no one else can turn it on. I don't know how to do that, but let's find out. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.